invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Lord, bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. Let us pray again. Father, thank you for this text of Scripture. Thank you for the opportunity to look at it together this morning. We pray that you would guide our time, that you would strengthen us, Lord, through your word, that we would do as you have commanded us, Jesus. These things have begun to take place, and we need to lift up our heads. We need to keep our eye upon the eastern sky and know, Jesus, that you're coming soon. Thank you for the season of this year, the season of Advent, the season of celebrating your coming. Help us to get clearly focused on your second coming this year, Lord, and to be prepared. Please bless this time of preaching and the teaching of the word, here in the sanctuary and downstairs as well, that you'd be honored and glorified as we await your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Lift up your heads. Keep your bifocals on again this morning, as we did last week, as we take a look again at the near fulfillment to the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 and the far fulfillment yet to come when Jesus comes the second time in power and glory. Both things are in view here this morning, and so bifocals are needed as you look at the scriptures, okay? We are in the time now awaiting the far fulfillment as we continue to have opportunity to lift up our heads in the midst of this weary world filled with wars and rumors of wars, of nations rising against nations, kingdom against kingdom, of earthquakes and all sorts of natural disasters that have continued on down through the ages of time into our own era as well. We must look to the Lord. And all of those things that have been happening and have occurred down through time can cause many to fear, can cause many to be bowed down with care. Yet for the child of God, as these things begin to take place, remember, you are kept. If you're in Christ, you are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed in the last time. He keeps you safe. He protects you. You're kept by Him. So straighten up. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. With each day, with each calamity around the world, we are ever closer to that final day when we will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud. we're ever closer to that day when we'll see him coming with power and with glory. And in that, we rejoice. But as we begin our text this morning in Luke 21, verse 20, we find ourselves back in Jerusalem. It's 70 AD, and we are looking through the near fulfillment in our bifocals as everything that Jesus prophesied 40 years earlier about the fall of this magnificent city and the majestic temple as it all comes to pass. Jerusalem was under siege for months in that time in 70 AD. Severe famine broke out. Titus, the son of the emperor, finally conquered the city, and the temple was burned to the ground. And just as Jesus said, not a stone was left standing up on a stone. Those humongous stones were all taken down. And every single woman, man, child was either killed or taken captive. The Jewish historian Josephus records what he saw as an eyewitness in 70 AD in Jerusalem. It was horrific. It was dreadful. There was human sacrifice. There was cannibalism. There was crucifixion. And when it was all said and done, the living envied the dead who lay unburied in the streets. Josephus offered this lament for Jerusalem. The Jerusalem, the city that he loved and lost. He said this, O most wretched city, what misery so great as this didst thou suffer from the Romans when they came to purify thee from thy intense hatred. For thou couldst be no longer a place fit for God, nor couldst thou longer continue in being after thou hadst been a sepulcher for the bodies of thine own people and hadst made the holy house itself a burying place. Then the historian became a theologian as he offered this explanation for Jerusalem's devastation. It was, Josephus said, because of the anger of that God who is the author of thy destruction. He was right. Jerusalem fell because Jerusalem was under God's almighty hand of judgment, just as Jesus said it would be. And this shows to us our Lord's perfect knowledge, does it not? 40 years prior, he said exactly what would take place, and it happened. We know not what a day may bring forth, let alone a day 40 years from now in some specific city somewhere. But Jesus knows exactly what's taking place. He knew exactly what was going to take place in Jerusalem in 70 AD. He knows exactly what's taking place right now, right here, what you're saying, what you're thinking here in this place. He knows exactly what's going to take place in the day to come. As Isaiah 46:10 says, I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Only God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger bed. This is Christ the Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary, fully God and fully man. Only he knows perfectly, has perfect knowledge of everything that is playing out even today, that played out 2,000 years ago as well. Only one like this, the Lord Jesus Christ, could speak as he spoke. See, this morning, the past, the present, the future are all naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. It's all open before him. He knows. And we have to give an account to him. We look back and those of us that are older remember the past sins in our youth, and we're humbled in the sight of a holy God to know the own depravity of our own souls and hearts. We know our present weaknesses and failures to progress in the faith as we should and become anxious over that, perhaps. We're fearful of trials that may lie before us, and we may be troubled in our hearts, but we can take comfort that Jesus Christ, who was born, who went to the cross for us to bear our sins and our sorrows, has perfect knowledge of all things past, present, and future. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same Lord and Savior, and we can trust Him, knowing that we are kept safe if we're in Christ. Nothing can or will happen to us that Christ, our Savior, is not aware of and that He has not ordained for us. Jesus had wept over Jerusalem. His words of prophecy here are a lament, and it's in sorrow that he prophesies what will come to pass. He speaks of desolation. Verse 20, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that her desolation is near. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, the parallel passage, Matthew calls it the abomination of desolation, referencing Daniel 11, 31. And as Jesus said this, when you see the army surrounding Jerusalem, you know that the time of desolation, the desolation of abomination of desolation, you see that happening. The people would have remembered less than two centuries earlier, in 167 B.C., when Antiochus IV, Epiphanes, desecrated the Holy Temple in Jerusalem at that time. This Greek king conquered Jerusalem, and he erected a statue of Zeus in the temple courts, and he sacrificed pigs in the Holy of Holies, a desolation of abomination of desolation that took place then. They would have remembered knowing that in their history. And now Jesus prophesies another desolation. Enemy troops were going to invade Jerusalem. The Romans would take control and destroy it all. And that's what Titus did 40 years later. He laid siege to Jerusalem, surrounding it for almost half a year. And when the siege ended, things were so bad, the famine was so bad, people were so desperate that they were eating the dust of the ground. It was, like Jesus said it would be, a terrible time to be pregnant or a nursing mother. Babies could get no milk from their mothers, and babies were left to die or even put to death. Very consequences of judgment were there, and it fell upon Jerusalem for her disobedience. And if you would go back, we won't take the time, but if you would go back and you would read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, you would see exactly what was warned to the people in Deuteronomy 28, especially verses 56 and 57. You'll see it's exactly what took place in AD 70. After laying siege to the city, when the Romans finally entered the city, there was little resistance. Thousands upon thousands of men, women, and children were put to the sword. The loss of life was staggering. The thousands and thousands of survivors that remained after all of the killing were led away in chains. It was a crushing defeat. And there were terrible suffering. Why? It was God's judgment against Jerusalem's sin. Look at verses 22 and 23, Luke 21, 22 and 23. Jesus says, because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Great distress upon the land and wrath to this people. vengeance belongs to God. And he has every right to judge people for their sins. Wrath, God's holy hatred of sin, came upon them. His settled determination is there to punish sin, and that's exactly what took place. God's justice was fulfilled in the fall of this great city. Just as we read in the Law of Moses in Deuteronomy 29, verses 15 to 16, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes, then cursed shall you be in the city. And Jerusalem was cursed. They were cursed in the city because they refused to obey the voice of the Lord their God. They were cursed because they were not careful to do his commandments. They were cursed because they refused to receive, to believe on their Messiah that was sent to them. You see, the sin that brought such devastating disaster and judgment were all the many sins that Jesus preached against throughout the Gospels, but most grievous of all, and the greatest sin of all, was that Jerusalem rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one promised from the prophets of old. They rejected him. He came into his own, but his own received him not. They turned away from him. They rejected him. They were cursed in the city. They crucified their Messiah. And judgment fell. And as we know, there were believers in Jerusalem. And God in his mercy gave Jerusalem and the people there plenty of time to repent. 4 decades before judgment fell. But for the most part, the religious community in Jerusalem did not repent and trust Christ. See, the Messiah, the deliverer promised by the prophets, had come. And he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And once all of that happened, the old magnificent temple in Jerusalem was no longer the dwelling place of God. It was no longer needed. God would not allow that temple to remain standing in opposition to its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the true temple. And so the Romans are God's instruments to bring it down. We see this, the wrath of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God. We must remember, as we see this wrath poured out in this historical event in 70 AD, we must remember that you and I deserve God's wrath and curses. You see, there's a warning here. We need to take serious God's warning of judgment to come, because judgment fell on Jerusalem. And my friends, judgment will fall as we put on the bifocals, and the far fulfillment judgment is going to fall upon all the earth. And that day is coming soon. You see, Jerusalem in the near fulfillment of our bifocals came, but the far fulfillment is yet. Do you believe Jesus this morning? Jesus has a 100% accuracy rate on all that he has said and proclaimed. Judgment is coming. Hell is real. Hell is forever. If you die without Christ, you are cursed in the city for eternity. As Spurgeon said, the siege and the fall of Jerusalem were simply a rehearsal of what is yet to be. It was simply a picture of judgment to come on the entire world. It's like when you head off to west to, into Colorado, and you begin to see the peaks of the mountains. You see the mountain ranges, and you see what's far out. And when you get closer, you see the lower ranges that lead up to those mountain peaks. It's the same thing. Jerusalem was the foothills of judgment, and the mountain peaks are still lingering there. People undoubtedly laughed when Jesus prophesied the destruction of that magnificent temple. But they weren't laughing 70 or 40 years later when it happened. Today, in our time, many people scoff at what Jesus says about the end of the world and Judgment Day. Many people don't take it seriously. Some of you seated here this morning are not taking it seriously. Our minds are somewhere else. And even those of us that love the Lord, sometimes we don't take it seriously. We just think it's somewhere out there. Yes, we believe in the judgment. We believe it's coming, but oh, it'll be a long time from now. Life will just continue on, at least in my lifetime, we tend to think. We referenced it last week, but turn again to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter addresses this very issue of the coming day of the Lord. Speaks of how in the last days mockers will come, following after their own lusts. They'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? What about this promise? Where is it? It's been all these years. Now we say it's been 2,000 years since Jesus prophesied all this, this far fulfillment of a coming day of judgment. Where is it? Listen to what Peter says, 2 Peter 3, 5 through 7. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. By the word of God, the world was made. By the word of God, the world was judged in Noah's day as a flood covered the earth. By the word of God, the world will be destroyed one day. Do you believe it? Are you ready? Get ready. Everybody goes around a month of December. Are you ready for Christmas yet? Are you ready for Christmas yet? Oh, I've got all this to do. I've got this and that to do. I've got to get all this stuff together. But my friends, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus? The coming again of our great God and Savior. Are we ready for the day of the Lord? That day when every person who has ever lived will stand before the God of judgment. Get ready. And be assured, yet today there is a way of escape from being cursed in the city. Repent and run to Jesus. Believe his words about judgment. Believe his judgment is what you deserve. Believe his words of saving grace in Christ. That Jesus bore the wrath, that Jesus bore the curse, that Jesus bore the judgment that we all deserve. That everyone who believes the promise of Christ will be saved from the wrath to come. Don't reject your deliverer as Jerusalem did. Receive him, believe him. For he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not believe the Son, does not obey the Son, will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Who does not obey the Son? You must come to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. and submit to its authority, to submit to Christ's authority over your life. It's not just this simple, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I go on my merry way, and I do everything I want to do, and I pay no heed to the Word of God. This is Christ the Lord. Submit to Him. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians. As Paul writes this letter to this Thessalonian church, I want you to notice what he says to them at the end of the first chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. As Paul writes to them, he speaks about how they themselves report about us, what kind of a reception we had with you, what kind of reception the apostles had with the Thessalonians. They're reporting how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Can that be reported about your life? That you turned to God from your idols? No, you may not have little statues that you bow down and pray to. But we're to have no other gods before Him. We're not to bow down to anything or anyone. Jesus must be our Lord and our God. Have you turned from your idols, from your sinful, wicked desires, to Jesus who came to rescue you? Have you turned to Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come? If you, like the Thessalonians, have done so, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Then you can be sure in verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, that God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Lift up your heads, O church. If you've turned from your idols, you've submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and He's gloriously saved you. You've been transformed. You've been changed like these Thessalonian believers were. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. He's here for you. He's protecting you. He's kept you. He will keep you safe. He delivers us all from the wrath to come. Now, note back in Luke chapter 21, verse 21. Luke 21, 21. Then those who are in Judea, still our bifocals are back here on the near fulfillment, those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the country must not enter the city, because these are days of vengeance. Jesus said this in warning of the coming destruction of the city, so that His own people would know what to do. When the time came for judgment, that His people, His church that was there in Jerusalem, would have protection from destruction, that the church would be preserved. In those times, cities were viewed as a place of protection and security. In times of danger, it was best to come into the walls of a fortified city for safety from outside attacks. But Jesus here says, do the opposite. Get out of the city. The city's doomed. So when you see the first warning signs, O church, head to the hills. Because the city is coming down under the vengeance of God. And Friends, this is what saved the early church. If you look into history, late in AD 66 and early 67, I won't say this guy's name right, but most of you won't know anyway. Cassius Gallius attempted to attack Jerusalem. And 3 years before it came down in 70 AD, 3 years before, Jerusalem was able to defend themselves, and the Romans retreated in 66-67 AD. But when that happened, the Jerusalem church remembered Jesus' words. They knew, they believed what he had said. And this was the signal that Jesus had spoken of. And the Druze, the Christians in Jerusalem in 67, fled Jerusalem. They fled across the Jordan River and took refuge in the city of Pella. And because of this, nearly all of the Christians who lived in Jerusalem escaped before the city fell to Titus 3 years later. Lives were spared, and they could carry on the work of world evangelization. Some of those people actually later returned to Jerusalem after it fell with the gospel. But you see, they believed the Lord. They believed that the day of destruction was coming. When judgment comes, God's people will always find safety in his promises. Noah did. He and his family found safety in the ark. Lot did. He fled Sodom. Jeremiah was told by God he would be spared when Jerusalem fell to Babylon in his day. He was rescued by God. By his grace, believing his promises, we all will be rescued from any wrath to come as well. It's true all through history and today for you and I who trust Christ. God protects his people. He delivers them. The story is told about the Dutch Reformed Church who escaped religious persecution in Holland. And they came to the New World and they called their new community in the New World Pella, knowing the story of the early church in 67 AD. Their new city of refuge in the New World was Pella as well. Friends, this morning, our hope, our refuge is found in the promises of God, where we find strength when we are weak, where we find peace when we are troubled, when we find the way of escape when we're tempted, where we find forgiveness and deliverance from all of our sins and the wrath of God that we deserve when we are repentant. And yet we are reminded that there was one godly man who trusted all the promises of God fully, but still suffered the full weight of God's wrath against sin. Not his sin, he had none, but God's wrath against our sin was laid upon Jesus the Christ. This is Christ the Lord. He fully trusted every promise in this book, and yet the wrath fell upon him for us. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he had prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Oh God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Let it pass. If there's any other way that I can escape the cross, let it pass, but not my will, but thine be done," because there was no other way. There was no way to avoid the cross. He had to suffer God's curse against sin. For that there would be no other way for us to be saved except through the blood of the sinless Son of God, for shed for sinners who believe upon him. For Jesus, there was no way to escape God's wrath and judgment. He suffered what we deserved, so we could flee the wrath to come to be safe in Christ. This is the way of escape. Jesus. It's through the cross. Whosoever believeth in him, the one born to die on Calvary, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish under the wrath of God, but have everlasting life. For the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we're safe. And we'll not be shaken with the Lord at our right hand. For Jesus has rescued us. He will rescue us from every calamity, any catastrophe. We're protected. We're safe in Christ. Nothing and no one can snatch you out of his hand if you are in him. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And that's true from now until the day of the Lord when he comes again. Well, as we close out this morning, we see that Jesus turns his gaze from Jerusalem to the end of the world, beginning in verses 25 and following. That's made clear by verse 27 and later in verse 35. Verse 24, he says, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It's a difficult verse to understand, number of ways it's been looked at over the years of time. Hard to decide for sure what Jesus meant, but certainly we can see the times of the Gentiles trampled Jerusalem underfoot. And down through history, Jerusalem has largely been in the hands of Gentiles. I think that's where we still are today. The times of the Gentiles, the time for the gospel to go out into all the world, to all the nations of the world. We're in that time yet now. Put your bifocals on. In verse 25, he focuses then again on the far fulfillment. And we know that because he says, one day, what? Every eye will see him. Every knee is going to bow before him. And as the church of Christ today, we should be crying out, come quickly, Lord. As you see all of these things coming to pass, as you see God's judgment coming, there are two responses. There's a response of fear or a response of faith. And when judgment begins to fall and there are even signs in the heavens and all that this that Jesus talks about here about the fire fulfillment, that be people are going to be afraid. That's going to be the natural man's response. Natural man in rebellion against God is going to be afraid, and he should be. But the response of people of God, the people of God that know and love and trust Jesus, our response, no matter what happens in our time and how this all plays out in the end, our response is that of faith because we know the grace of God. With these things begins, Jesus said. Terrible stuff happens. And when every terrible earthquake and tsunami and fire and everything that happens, we're getting closer. Don't be bowed down, Christians. Straighten up. Lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's coming. It's coming to pass. J.C. Ryle said, however terrible the signs of Christ's second coming may be to the impenitent, those that don't repent, however terrible those signs may be, they need not strike terror into the heart of the true believer. They ought rather to fill him with joy. They ought to remind him that his complete deliverance from sin, the world, and the devil is close at hand, and that he shall soon bid an eternal farewell to sickness, sorrow, death, and temptation. The very day when the unconverted man shall lose everything shall be the day when the believer shall enter on his eternal reward. Soon, soon and very soon, there will be no more death, no more dying, no more crying, no more pain. Soon and very soon, we shall see Jesus himself, that one laid in that manger bed with blood running through his veins that eventually poured that blood out on the cross for us. We'll see him. Soon and very soon we'll be reunited with all the saints of God that have gone before us. And we'll be worshiping him together. Soon and very soon we'll be free from sin. Our sin and the sin of those who sin against us and against God as well. Free from that. Saints of God, this morning, lift up your heads. your redemption draweth nigh. Look to Jesus. Those of you that do not know Christ this morning, believe these warnings. Jesus is true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said judgment would fall on Jerusalem. It did. He says judgment will fall upon all the earth, and it will. You need to be ready. Repent and turn to Christ today. Let us pray. Our Father, this morning we certainly thank you. We give you praise for your word, for these truths, Lord, that you've given to us. And we pray today, Father, that we would desire you more than anything else. That you'd strengthen our faith and help us to prepare for that great day and to be used by you to prepare others around us who are not yet ready. In your name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 241, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending. I think you'll recognize the tune for this. It's a Christmas tune, but this is the second coming of Christ. We must be prepared for 241, Lo, He Comes, and then we'll sing The King is Coming. Let's stand together. Seated. respond now to the preaching of the Word of God as we think of Christ and we remember and proclaim His death again until He comes at this table. And we invite all here this morning that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have professed your faith, followed the Lord in baptism, to come with us to this table to take of these elements in remembrance of Christ. That has not taken place in your life, we ask that you refrain from partaking with these. We would not want you to bring judgment upon yourself, as the Scripture says. This is a time for the people of God, children of God. Consider what we preach this morning as you view the partaking of these elements at this table today. Clark, would you come? Invite our servers to come.